Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Once again, welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Listen, we're welcoming back Cindy McCarley today. She was with us a week ago in an amazing discussion. She is a highly sought-after practitioner, who is gifted with both healing and intuitive skills, and she has been seeing and treating people, their whole body, mind, and spirit for many years and helping them through many issues that they are suffering with. She's able to see, feel, and know her clients' past, present, and future and offer them guidance from their soul's point of view. It's really amazing what she does. She says pain and grief obviously are a natural part of life, but you have a choice to end your own suffering and never let yourselves be defeated, but you have to work at it yourself. Grief is the cost of having loved someone, because she deeply understands that loving means hurting, because your hearts mourn deeply when you lose those you hold most dear, and that includes your beloved pets. And Cindy has a lot of pets that she loves dearly. And we're going to talk about that. This is a whole interesting subject. She talked about it a bit. If you didn't hear that discussion last week, you're going to enjoy this one. It's going to be a little different. I can promise you that. In any event, let's not waste a lot of time. Cindy is located out in Vernal, Utah, where it's a beautiful day today. It's in the mid-50s. Normally it would be colder, but right now it's a nice day. So it's nice to have Cindy McCauley back with us. So let's just say good morning, Cindy. How are you today? Nice to have you here. Okay? Welcome back.
Good morning, and thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
You are very, very welcome. Listen, let me just ask you a quick question. I know what you do, but you know, a lot of people would call you a psychic. You don't use that word. You call yourself an intuitive. You know, how do you describe an intuitive? What really is a lot of people don't know what that word means, okay? So tell us.
Intuitive means that you have intuition to all things. Like, there isn't anything I can't hear. I can hear people, animals, nature. Intuition is being able to connect to the energy field of anything that's of light. A psychic, in other words, is, to me, a psychic is in, we're all in different classrooms in our lifetimes. We're all learning and teaching different modalities. And so with psychics, I feel like they're connected, but they're different levels of connection. Someone that's intuitive can reach a higher purpose, a different ability to connect to all things.
Well, that's a very interesting answer.
Sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense, but that's a good answer, good way to put it. You know, when did you know you had this intuitive ability? Did you know it when you were much younger?
Well, my earliest memories of being different was when I was about 4 and 5 years old. Wow. I would answer and know things that would upset, like, my mother. She wouldn't understand how I knew that. And by the time I was about 8 years old, I started realizing not everybody could hear animals. Not everybody could feel a plant or know it was going to happen before it happened. And I kind of I felt like I was very odd and didn't fit in. As I got older in my life, every time a tragedy happened, I would know about it before. And every time I've gone through a deep grief or pain, my abilities have even grown further. So it's walking through life that it just was discovering all these different things about myself. But it really wasn't until I was 41 that I lost my father that I really started, when he crossed over, he reached out to me, although I'd always had a connection, and explained everything about who I am, what I do, and why I'm here. And it just took off from there. And even today, I can sit with a group of people, someone different, and learn something else that I know that I'm not aware of. It's expandable all the time.
Does that scare you? Or I guess you're used to it now. It's really kind of unique to have that kind of ability. But how do you react to it when you get these thoughts and feelings and the knowledge that you're getting?
I get asked that a lot. And for me, it's kind of the best way to describe it is I don't know how to be different than that. So it'd be like you in the house cooking dinner, the phone's ringing, the TV's on, the dog's barking, the kids are arguing. My mind is like that all the time in every aspect. So it's everywhere. I actually, when I first started doing my work, I was afraid that maybe I had a brain tumor or something because I knew that I was so different and I could hear so much. So I'd gone to my doctor and asked him to do an MRI on me. And he asked me why, and I said, because I can hear and see everything and no one else can like I do. I feel very odd and different. And he said, Cindy, I feel like you're gifted. And he'd been my doctor for years. And I said, I don't know what that means. And he said, well, I'll put you through the MRI. And when they put me through the MRI, what they noticed was if I was listening and hearing what goes on in my brain, the blood flowed on both sides of my brain as where normally most people have one side flow when you're awake, the other side flow when you're sleeping. Mine is constant. And so it's just been an involvement of accepting it and realizing that it can be hard because, like with my husband, I knew 20 years that I would lose him. So for 20 years, we lived every day blessed because I knew the day would come. And when the day came that I needed to know, I did. And it's, so it can be a blessing and it can be a curse, but at the same time, I look at it after I get through those times and realize how blessed I was to know I would lose him so I didn't miss a moment. So today I would say that I honor my gift.
I can understand that. Obviously, you knew when you were to lose your father. Would that be right? You had that intuition?
Yes.
You did?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. He actually died at my daughter's wedding, and I had told my dad for a year before that I thought his heart was bad, and he kept saying, no, sis, I think it's just my back. And he was dancing with my daughter and went out to have a cigarette and had a massive heart attack.
It happened.
My brother.
At the wedding reception, your daughter's wedding reception. Oh, wow. That's terrible.
Yeah.
In any event, we won't dwell on that, but you did have the intuitive feeling that it was going to happen. You didn't know exactly what moment, but you knew it wasn't far away, I gather. Would that be the way to put it?
Yes. Yes, okay. Like I can look at someone and see illness and be like, if I do a reading, I'll be like, look, this is, are you feeling this? Is your heart doing that? Are you struggling with your stomach? You can do these things to prevent that, or I'll say, you need to change your lifestyle because this is going to happen. Or if they do have a serious illness, I will ask them to go to the doctor and be like, if you need to go to the doctor, if you feel like you need to go to the doctor, that inner knowing, you should go because this needs to be checked. And so I'm able to direct them. I can also see when I look at someone what they're deficient in or what they're allergic to. So a lot of people aren't well because they eat things that aren't balance to their energy field, to their physical vessel, and everyone is unique and different. No one's the same. And so I can look at them and be like, you're low in this, and you eat this, and that's not good for you. And if you get rid of that, you'll see in 2 months, if you go off that, you'll feel better. It's kind of a guide in every way. And when I go into a group or an individual reading, whether it's on the phone, on Zoom, in person, it doesn't matter. I instantly can connect to them and see everything about them.
And can you get feelings like this and knowledge like that or thoughts like this just by walking up by somebody and not even talking with them?
Yes.
You do. That's unreal. That must be scary. Maybe not. If you sense something bad is about to happen to someone, do you warn them?
Only if I'm told to. I have rules. I'm guided by guides and angels. Mother Mary and Christ have worked with me for years. And so there's rules to what I do, no different than an attorney. You're held and bound by rules. And so if I do know something, a perfect example is our priest. He is old school priest, and he didn't know about my abilities for a very long time. But when my husband got cancer, we had a couple things happen that we had to call the priest for. And when he came, he asked me why a miracle could happen a miraculous thing could happen on our property. And I said, I think it's because they're sad, they're weeping, he's going to pass away. And Father told me, no, that's not going to happen. And he said, but why would that happen here? And so we sat down, we came in the house and sat down, and Father said, I need to talk to you and ask you questions. And so he made notes, and he said, ask me how I do my work. What is my work? What is it I have? Because there's so many people that say they have gifts and so many people that fool people, and it's a bad thing. And so I said to Father, let me just do you a reading then. And so I saw in Africa and saw where his family was and all about his life and how he grew up and where his family members were then and where they are now. And at that time, I saw Father would get cancer, but I never told Father that because I wasn't allowed to. And so I just said, I told him he would be being transferred, and he said, no, I'll never be transferred because I've been here for 10 years. And I said, you'll be transferred a year to the day into a place that you're happy and accepted. And he was transferred a year to the day. But Father made all these notes. And then,
okay.
And then
he was transferred.
4 months
he
after,
did. Okay, I get,
yes,
I get
he
it.
Was transferred. And
so
he asked all these questions. Yes. And so he asked all these questions, or I told him all these things, and he wrote them all down. And then about 3 months after I did the reading for Father, my husband had passed away by then, and I was praying at night, and I heard, now is the time to tell Father, call him and tell him he needs to get to the doctor and have his blood checked. So I text him. And I said, Father, I'm concerned about you. Would you please go to the hospital and have your blood tested? And he said, but why, Cindy? I'm quite fine. And I said, please, Father, I just need you to go and show me you're okay. I knew he had blood cancer. Father went, came back to me afterward and said, do you remember texting me and you know what you said to me? And I said, yes. And he said, well, I do have cancer. And I said, yes, I know, Father. And he said, when did you know? And I said, the day that I spoke with you. And he said, and why didn't you tell me? And I said, because it wasn't allowed yet. I'm only allowed to tell you what the soul tells me to say. And when the time is right, I will always inform you. I don't believe in attacking people with my knowledge, but if I feel like if I have a really strong feeling that I need to approach someone or I need to deliver a message, I will. In a lot of cases, someone will show up, and literally in all the years I've done my work, I've never advertised for it. People have came all these years just organically. I've never charged for what I do because I don't believe in that. I take donations for domestic violence, but me personally, nothing. And so people organically show up. And when they do, they may be speaking about something, and I'll look at them and say, oh, do you have a relative that looks like this? And somehow I'm able to get the message to someone through them that may never have met me, that they coincidentally came into my circle that I needed to deliver to someone else. It's very expandable because we're all interconnected, and everything always is as it should be at all times. And so everything aligns as it should. I never ask for things to happen. I allow them to come in and come out, and I feel very blessed in the sense. And like with my family, I don't really do this with clients, but with my family, once a year on their, and I call your new year, your birthday, on your birthday, my kids and my grandchildren will come, and I'll sit them down, and they'll record their 1 year. And so their soul will tell them that 1 year, and I'd say it's 98% accurate in what will happen in that 1 year for them. And they've done that their whole lives with me. And that's kind of a personal thing. I can't even really say all the different things that come from what I do because they're always new and expanding even with me.
That's an amazing story you tell. How does it help your children by being able to learn they really get some kind of insight on what's about to happen, don't they, when you give them this annual reading?
To learn as mom. I had to learn I finally was told, because I would pre-know everything. I would know if there was going to be an accident or an illness or whatever was going to happen. And so I would always pre-warn my kids. And then one day I heard I was blocking their lessons. In order for me to give them information, I needed to learn to allow them to fail because fail is growth. And so over the years, I've learned to step back and only speak if they ask me and only if I'm told it's important for them to know. And so I had to learn on the human side of me to be mom and allow their suffering to be a part of their growth because I blocked it before I could prevent it.
That's amazing. Let me ask you, who is it that prevents you from telling people certain things? You say there are rules and you have to follow the rules. Who sets the rules?
There's spiritual rules. There's the universe vibrates on high frequencies, and there's many beings of light, and there's many rules of love, and everything is out of unconditional love. And so the rules come from the very essence of love. And so when you tell someone that maybe not the right time to tell them would be something that could wound or create a whole different dimension of energy that's a cause and effect. And so because they're guided by exactly as it should be, I guess in a perfect way of putting it, before we take the physical vessel, we write our lives. We agree to a contract. It's our soul agreeing with our soulmates because we come in soul groups. And our soul groups are eternally with us. And we may add some and subtract some, but as a rule, the core is the core. And so we all agree, like, you may want to learn to overcome addiction. Someone else may want to overcome an ego, whatever it is the soul's working on, because in every lifetime, there's a theme to that lifetime, something the soul is working on. And so we all have to agree to that. And then in that whole group, we all help and expand, and we're teachers and students throughout it because we're helping each other without the consciousness, realizing that this is a bigger production than we know. And so if you understand that everything is written right down to your arguments and decided upon, then you realize that you can't interfere until the time is right to interfere and intervene because everything is out of unconditional love. It may be that your soul is strictly here to love unconditional and help others, and you have a life that doesn't seem complicated. But as a rule, everything flows by the choices you make within that group. Cause and effect happens over having a parent that teaches you this. It may not be the best lesson, but you became this because of that. It's a constant flowing of love, and reincarnation is a continuation of that group that continues to expand their lessons and pass their classes.
Okay. This is an amazing conversation. I'm intrigued by your ability to communicate with animals. There are pictures of you talking with some of your pets on your website. You have a great website, by the way. In case you're interested in learning more about Cindy, everybody, those of you who are listening, it's CindyMacCarley.com. Let me spell this for Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y. And McCarley's M-C-C-A-R-L-E-Y. It's very simple. M-C-C-A-R-L-E-Y.com. CindyMacCarley.com. Cindy, talk to me a little bit about that, about your communicating. You can hear from animals and understand them. Talk to me a little bit about that ability.
Well, that's probably one, from being a child, that was one of my greatest loves because my dad used to call me Ellie Mae because every animal I would bring home, dogs, cats, and animals in the forest, deer, they would come up to me, raccoons I've brought home because I can hear them. And it's just like I hear intuitively you in your soul, it's no different with them. But animals are unconditional love. Animals have no anger, no ego. They're simply loved and cared for. If they do end up on the wrong side of a vibration, it's because we mistreated them. Something caused them to feel a negative feeling. But animals tell me all things. And so people bring me their horses. People bring me their dogs, cattle. And all I have to do is stand by them. And it's many, many times. I used to have a retail business. And when I would go to market, if my reps had animals, they literally would meet me at the door and stand there and wouldn't let me in the room until I could hear what they had to say and then tell their owners. So I know if an animal is sick, if they're abused, if they're going to get cancer, what's happening in their household. My kids always say to me, Mom, don't listen to my dog. Don't listen to my cat because they will immediately, even if the animal is shy and or abused, the animal isn't with me. They always know and can feel me and come to me. And so animals are just pure love. I can tell if they have an impacted tooth. My vet, after all these years with all the animals I have, I just simply will call and say, Cece needs in because she has this, and he'll do the blood work and I'll be right. And they tell me, and animals will know, they sense who can help them and who can speak for them. It's no different with animals than it is children. An example, there I'd heard a story about a baby here in town that kept going blue, and they'd sent the baby to many, taken to the emergency room here in the city, to Salt Lake, to Denver. They'd been everywhere, and they could not figure out what was wrong with this baby, why it quit breathing when it went to sleep. And so somebody had spoke about it at my center, and I'm like, they need to bring that baby to me. If I see the baby will tell me. And so the baby was crawling, and I'll never forget it, because they brought the child in, and the baby crawled over to me, and I said, oh, I said, you need to take them to the Mayo Clinic, and they have to put a device on the child because the brain forgets to get the signal to breathe. And so the reason that it doesn't happen when they're in the hospital and they're at home is the baby's more relaxed. So when the baby goes into sleep, the brain forgets. And I said, but it won't happen in a hospital setting because the baby isn't in its own environment. So they took it to the Mayo Clinic. They said they could not find it, and they called me, and I said, no, go back. Make them take the baby back and put a monitor on the baby, and sure enough, they did, and they found that the brain misfired, and so it wasn't getting the signal. And the child has a little bit of brain damage now, but is doing fine, but for so long it went through that. So energy is energy, and it doesn't matter if it's human, animal, or plant. I mean, I have a walk in the park. I have a huge garden here. And I walk through my yard every day in the summer, and I know if this one's not getting enough water, if that one needs fertilizer, I can hear that. I can hear water. I hear the air. Everything is a part of God. So universally, everything is energy.
What do you hear
and
from
our
animals? What kind of information would you get from an animal or from your pet dog, you know, or your donkey? You have a pet donkey. You have a lot of pets. What do you hear, and I'm not talking about, you know, an impacted tooth, but do you get messages from them? What are the kind of messages?
Oh, no. They tell me about what's going on in their family, what's going on with their health. If they're afraid, like one lady, she takes dogs to dog shows, and this one dog was acting out, and I told her, bring the dog to me, and the dog was afraid to be put in a crate underneath the seat. It would throw up all the time. They give me information on their lives, what needs to be done, or if someone in their family is suffering, if they're going to be given away, if a horse is being sold and knows it, if they're going to be, they know everything, and they tell me, I guess, in a way to get help for themselves and for their families.
I find that amazing. Let me ask you this. Do you have to be with the animal or near the animal to get a message from them? I'm wondering if somebody lives in, let's say, Louisiana, and they call you and you're out in Utah, can you help their animal, or do they have to be, you know, bring the animal to you?
I used to believe and feel like I felt the most accurate because I always want to be the best I can be. So I used to have an insecurity about not being before the person or the animal. And today, no. I've done it long enough now that you can call me from anywhere. People do all the time and ask me, can you tell me about my dog? Is my dog this? Is my dog that? Or my cat or whatever. Yes, they're energy, so I can pick up energy from anywhere. I'm also bilateral, so I'm able to be anywhere I need to be energy-wise and still be here. It doesn't change for me. When my priest found out about my abilities, they called it bilateral. He's like, are you bilateral? I said, don't know what that means. And he said, are you able to be in more than one place at one time? I said, since I was a little girl, I just thought that was natural. So wherever I'm talking to someone, I can connect to them no matter what and tell them all about their lives and everyone around them. If they mention someone, as a rule, I won't give a full reading on someone else to, like, if you ask me about your friend, I would know about your friend, but I would only give you a vital information wouldn't be allowed. I would only give you maybe a little because that's their personal business, not yours. But there's nothing I can't reach no matter where I am.
Well, that's good to know. For anyone listening who wants to know how to reach you, well, again, I'll repeat your website. It's Cindy McCarley, McCarley.com. That'll get you to her website where you can learn how to actually get in direct contact with Cindy, and maybe she can help you. Cindy, I'm amazed that you do this service for people and help people, and you don't charge them. People will make a donation, but you don't actually charge them. I mean, this could be a pretty good business for you, I would think. Don't you know?
I don't need that. I've been blessed by God and my husband. We have a very financially successful. I believe that if I had to use my ability to make money, I feel like I wouldn't be as accurate because I am so blessed in my life. I was married to a person when I was young that was very abusive and almost killed me multiple times. So I'm very much about domestic violence. And for all the years, 30-some years now, I've donated and helped out with domestic violence. And then one day I decided to open my own foundation that I could actually use my abilities to fund for women and children. And so we have a giving house center, and everything goes in the foundation and everything goes back out. And so it takes care of women and children like I was. I left the abuser when I was 23 with four little kids and went on my own. And it's scary and it's hard. And you reach rock bottom, but even being on your own is a safety thing, and you start over. And so I've had a lot of hardships in my life that I have gratitude for every day, and that's for me to give back and help others that have had or are living in crisis like I once was.
Obviously, your intuitive skills didn't kick in before you got married to that individual. Would that be about the way to put
no.
it?
No, yeah, not in the full scale. Did I know? Yes, I would know. He ran over me, and I dreamed it the night before. I always knew what was coming. To kind of give that a feel, my mother was abusive to me because she thought I was weird and different, didn't understand me, how I could kind of hold her responsible for things that she would do or did do that no one knew about. And so I left home when I was 14, and I moved from Wyoming to Utah and moved in with family. And then I married someone that I think at that young age that I married in order for me to get away from the situation I was in, and I went to a worse situation down the road. But at the same time, I believe everything happens for a reason, and I had my four children, and I knew who all my children were before they were born. In fact, I had my two girls first, and when I got pregnant with my son, I threw everything away knowing I was having my son. And so I've always known who my children are and my grandchildren. But today I would tell you that I had to marry him because how would I have the experience, the empathy to understand abuse or abandonment or be sent home in a wheelchair, because I was sent home in a wheelchair and from being run over. I've been through great tragedies, but every single one I sit with those people now. And I couldn't be a teacher to them had I not known what and felt what they are living in. So my life is a gift.
Cindy, I must tell you, it's been fascinating to talk to you. We've gone through a half hour just like that. I wish we had more time. You are amazing. And do you work with people on the telephone, on Zoom, or is it in person for the most part? Tell me.
All three. We do all. We do phone readings, in person, Zoom. We can do a Zoom group. People can be anywhere, and we can do a group of people. I travel and do groups. All that information will be on my website, how you can get to that.
Well, that's good to know. Cindy, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. I know you're a very busy lady, but you're a good lady. You're a great lady. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us, and I know you love helping people. And I think your story is amazing, absolutely amazing. Remember the website, everybody, CindyMcCarley.com. Thank you, Cindy. Hope we do this again, okay?
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
You're so very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yes, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
My goodness, what a great story, Cindy McCarley. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time, everybody. Bye.